You know, in the baby dedication that I was to do, I was reading over the Deuteronomy verse 6, and I was reading through there a little bit, and it caught my attention, because in the Old Testament, God desired to teach the parents and children commandments and decrees and regulations, and a commandment is a to do and not to do truth from God as to how we are to do relationships with Him and to also one another. And I was reading this and I thought, oh my lands, how I need to remember this in all that I do. And it says, these are the commandments, these are the decrees, these are the regulations that were given that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you and your grandchildren and your children. And here it is. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. What a beautiful commandment. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commandments that I am giving you today. And he continues, and then we go look in the New Testament too, and we get two more commandments from our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And of course, love others as yourself, as your neighbors. Do unto them as you would do to you. What two beautiful commandments do we have? I'm not going to add to Scripture, but I want to throw one in there, okay? Men, love your wife like the Lord loved the church. Willing to give yourself for her. Are you in a position to where you get a little bit upset and tired? I'm never that way, right? Yeah, as my wife laughs. You know. Men, we need to lead our families in a God-glorifying direction. That means raising your children up. That means loving your wife. That means being kind, putting her interest above yours in order that she may see the beautiful light of Christ shining through you. Because Scripture says, if you'll look a little bit more like God, she'll know how to behave in a way that would honor the Lord. So men, it's a challenge I give to you and to myself, of course. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Have patience. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart in a way that you see that gentleness, that humility, that joy, that peace, that gentle kindness, that self-control that only God can give you as you walk with this Holy Spirit. So basically, it's off with the old and on with the new nature. Let me turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 through 32. Those numbers are very confusing. It's 2-3-3-2, and it looks like 3-2-2-3 to me. So let's go with the first. Let's go with that. Let me read this. I want you to see how this begins. Let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created and to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And then we have another process right here that Paul's writing. And he says, so here's what the old nature looked like and stop doing. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you still are angry. For anger, gives a foothold to the devil. Strong words. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Pretty plain. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then generously give to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. And then we have the other end of the bookend that's here. Let everything you say be good and helpful. Why? So that your words will be encouragement to those who hear them. What's Paul saying? Renew your mind in the likeness of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to do it and unite together in one body of Christ. These are provisions on uniting together. Paul's talked about your new nature now being born again. You have a new nature. Your old nature is gone. You don't have two natures. You have one nature. And it's one nature which is given to you and regenerated by God the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty guilty of all the items in the black as you read on your notes right there. And I'm trying to improve. No, I'm not trying to improve anymore. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to renew my mind and let Him complete the work that He began in me, not me do it. Going through a process of asking God to help me do every little thing. I was fixing the fan yesterday. Debbie was cleaning the house like a mad woman. I'm telling you, she was going after that thing like I've never seen in my life. And I'm sitting up there and I said, well, I'll do something. And so I sat up there and I started messing with the fan, and you're on a ladder, one screw falls off, okay, another screw falls off, and it says, yeah, this is not going too good. All of a sudden, I'm reading, don't use foul or abusive language, okay, I'm there, they're there, and I start to say, wait a minute. And I said, Lord, help me with this fan. As simple as that is, Lord, help me with this fan. I don't know if I dropped a few more screws or not, but you know what? I had the patience and the peace and got it done, and there wasn't any confusion in my mind. It was okay for things to happen like that because God was there with me. I want to invite you to let God help you with the little things in life so you won't use foul language maybe. But anyway, this is a process. The Apostle Paul is telling the Ephesians, since you've heard about Jesus Christ and you have learned the truth that comes from Him, you can now choose to throw off your old former way of life because you have a new way of life. You've been born again. That old life is corrupted by lust and deception. So now, in Ephesians 4:23, instead, let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Well, there's your position. Whole without blame. The judicial system in God's courthouse has declared you mercifully innocent because of Christ Jesus. Because of your position in Christ, your sins have been taken away. Because of your position in Christ Jesus, you have His righteousness. And because of your position in Christ, you can now come before the throne room of God and be with the Creator of the universe. And talk with Him and walk with Him while you're here. So we have a parental process now that we're saved. And we do sin, yes, but it's one to keep the relationship as good as it could be. Father, I'm sorry I didn't do this. I did this, whatever. Father, help guide me this. But don't you ever try to create your position out of your practice. If you can create your position out of your practice, then Christ didn't need to go to the cross. There's nothing that you can do to gain your salvation. It is a free gift. It's Ephesians chapter 2. It's a free gift. No one can boast. And He's given you everything that you need. Please settle in on asking God to help you with every part of your life in your walk. How do we do that? He gave you the Holy Spirit right here in Ephesians. Let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. You see, until one is born again, they had no choice to allow God, the Holy Spirit, to renew their thoughts and attitudes. There was no way. The Holy Spirit didn't reside in them. The Holy Spirit was beckoning them, calling them to Christ. They either said yes or no. Remember the old days when your parents or your boss told you, you need an attitude adjustment? Your parents ever told you, you need an attitude adjustment? I have a recording millions of times my parents telling me I need an attitude adjustment. Usually what happened? A spanking or a reprimand or a scolding followed with your attitude adjustment? Well, I'm going to tell you the truth about attitude adjustments. According to Scripture, God the Holy Spirit's the only one who can give us a proper attitude adjustment. He's the only one. Because we are regenerated, and we look at that word in the original language, palingenesia, we are able to, because of our new birth, to have our minds be placed under the direction and the guidance of God the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He wants to guide you. He wants you to be activated by Him. He wants to guide you and direct you, and we choose to walk with Him. Although its meaning is different in two passages, it can easily be translated and transitioned in the thought of the apparent and evident. I want to take a look. It's used twice in Matthew 19:28. Jesus said to them, the apostles, truly I say to you, here it is, in the regeneration of the new world. Ah, we're going to get a new world. When the Son of Man will sit in the glorious throne, you have followed me, will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Then we see it again in Matthew. The word refers to the restoration of the world, which signifies a gradual transition in Matthew. And then it's believed that the regeneration in this passage implies that the final stage of the development of all creation by which God's purposes regarding the same are fully realized when, here it is, all things are put in subjection under His feet. This is a regeneration in the proper meaning of the word, for it signifies a renovation of all visible things when the old is passed away and heaven and earth have become new, as recorded by the Apostle John in the vision in the heaven in Revelation. Look what John writes. John says, then I saw a new heaven and I saw a new earth, the regeneration. For the old heaven and the old earth have disappeared and the sea was also gone. Look at this, verse 2. And I saw a holy city. What do you see? The new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven like a beautiful bride dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look at this. God's home is now among His people. He will live with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Are you homeward bound? Are you homesick? We get a little homesick every once in a while, don't we? We get tired of the events in life that bear us down. We get tired of going to the doctor time after time, getting heated up to 106 degrees, try to get rid of this disease that's there. We get tired of taking our little babies, and we're fearful of taking them to the doctor. Praise God, we have a doctor to take them to. We get tired of what the sin in this world beats us up with. We're tired of abortion. We're tired of sex trafficking. We're worn out. Let me have you look up to Jesus. Be renewed in the mind with the Holy Spirit. Remember, there's going to be a time every tear will be wiped away, and there'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain, and all these things will be gone forever, and you possess that purpose in your life because of what Christ has done for you. It's a free gift he's given to you. Don't let the world drag you down. You let the Holy Spirit lift you up. Remember that song? Place your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his beautiful face, and the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the beauty of his glory and grace. Wow. So we see a world that's going to be redone. Thank goodness, right? And now in Titus, we see the other time used in the New Testament. Being a human regeneration. Not only the world and its purpose, but we are regenerated. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. I want you to look at this. Not because of works done by us in righteousness. We couldn't do any righteous works. Well, then how did you say? But according to his own mercy, here it is, by the washing, the regeneration, the palingenesia, the renewal of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit regenerated you and birthed you and made you alive again. A new creation. Not something you took of the old and reworked it. Get that out of here. A new creation in Christ Jesus, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Able to walk into the throne room of God and serve your Lord and Jesus Christ, the mighty King of earth and heaven. He's victorious. He's overcome Satan and death and its sting. He's overcome that in your life. You get to live and walk anew in the precious, precious light of Christ. The washing of the regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You got a good Jesus, man, I'm telling you. He paved a lot of the way for us. He did great things on this earth, and he did it for us. Of course, he did it for the Father, because that's what he came to do the will of the Father. But the benefits that come with that, gathering his children back to him, so it'll be the way it is. He's going to take care of the earth, and he's taking care of you. Once you've accepted Christ, he has renewed you. You have been regenerated, and you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of the eternal covenant of life. You see, when God our Savior revealed his kindness and his love, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, his love and mercy. He washed away your sins. He gave you a new birth, a new regeneration through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out his Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as we have been born again. We find the term born again in Scripture. It's used by Jesus with a man named Nicodemus. We're all familiar with Nicodemus. He was a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. He was wanting to speak with Jesus, and Nicodemus approached him one dark evening, addressing him as Rabbi. And he said, Rabbi, we know that all that God has sent you to teach us. He says, your miraculous signs are evident that God is with you. I love what Jesus does. Jesus can see right straight through the heart. He knows the motivations and sees it. And here it is. And Jesus replies, and he says, I'll tell you the truth, Nicodemus. Unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man get back into his mother's womb and be born again? Not going to happen, Nicodemus. This birth's going to be from the Holy Spirit. You're going to be created to be in the likeness of God. That's not in Scripture. That's me talking. Verse 5. But I can get that from Scripture, though. Verse 5, Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and the Spirit. I want to tell you, humans can produce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to the spiritual life of the soul. He continues and he says, don't be surprised when I say you must be born again, Nicodemus. Watch this. The wind blows everywhere it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. I can't tell you and explain to you how people are born of the Spirit, but I can show you in Scripture it's true. And when God says it, it's the truth. And you can count on it. He's trustworthy. You can count on the Lord. So we have the Apostle Paul's writing the Ephesians, telling them that since they've been born again, they've been regenerated by God the Holy Spirit to get on with the new walk provided by doing life with God in a new nature that He had created for them. They had been palingenesia, regenerated. They had been delivered. They were now a new creation of God, brand new. And having been created anew by God, God the Holy Spirit had taken up residence in their heart. And in fact, He had sealed them. Paul had written earlier the same letter telling them so. He begins with the phrase to God, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 14. He's writing them before. They've already read this in their letter. They're trying to find out and know more about this living Jesus. It says, Paul says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing on the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. And even before He made the world, God loved you, Ephesians, and chose you in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. Well, what did God decide to place in us, Christ? Well, God decided to adopt into His family by bringing Him to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. What are we supposed to do? So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out upon us who belong to His dear Son. Do you take time to praise God? I'm telling you, if you invite Him into everything you do, you'll praise Him that you can get down off a ladder when you're fixing a fan and don't fall off. Praise God. You'll praise Him for putting stuff together in a way that you haven't torn things. I'm telling you, invite Him into the simple things of life, and it will turn into a praise in your heart. Believe me, it will. Lord, help me do the dishes. Lord, help me. Lord, help me today when I get up. Help me to see You. Lord, who are You going to bring by? What's going to happen? I love my precious Debbie, my precious wife, Debbie. We're talking, and she says, I'm starting my day off, and I try to make my list out there, and then I stop and I ask, Lord, who do I talk to? What do You want me to do? And said, the list just goes away. Her stuff went away, and God's came up. Isn't that beautiful? It's a beautiful choice we make. Choose Jesus. Choose the Holy Spirit. Choose Him to include you with everything you do. Ray, when you're doing the custodial work around the church, are you telling Jesus to help you mop this floor? That's good. Perfect. That's why it's so clean all the time. I know that sounds simple, but your Lord and Savior wants to do everything with you that you're doing. You've got our kids. We've got your spouse. Is there anything that, for I've said this before, is there anything with your little precious children? They come up and you say, nah, I'm not going to help you with that. Well, don't, if you do, don't do that. I'm not going to help you with that. We'd use grandchildren. That works every time. We'll do anything with our grandchildren that we would not do probably with our children. But they come up there. We see their precious heart exactly as they are. And we're so glad they want us to help them go to the cabinet and pick out the little colors to get the crayon so they can color some pictures on the deal. It's just a beautiful process in our heart that God has placed there in us. He wants to be with us actively, experiencing us and Him experiencing us and us experiencing Him in that process. So we can praise God in verse 6 for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. Look at verse 7. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave us of our sins. This is the preciousness of your salvation. He has showered us kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Well, how are we supposed to obtain His wisdom and understanding? How do I get this? Look at this, verse 9. God has now revealed to us His mysterious will, His desires regarding Christ, which is to fulfill His own good plan. What's the plan, God, now that we're included? Verse 10. And here's the plan. At the right time, He, God, will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything on heaven and on earth. What else do we get, God? This sounds like a pretty good deal. It's a great gift. I just keep opening it up. It just keeps giving. Look at verse 11. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For He chose us in advance. And He makes us everything work out according to His plan. So every plan has a purpose. So what's your purpose, God, in your plan? Verse 12. God's purpose was that we Jews who were the first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God. And now, praise God, you Gentiles have heard the truth and the good news that God saves you. How do we know God saved us? Here it is. And when you believed in Christ, He, God, sealed you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. All right. So what guarantee do we have we'll receive the promised inheritance? You said we're going to inherit something. It says in verse 14, the Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give you the inheritance He promised and that He has purchased us to be His own people. What in the world or why on earth would God do this? Why would He give us all this bounty? Why would He give us all this blessing? Why would He give us this? Look at the next verse, or part of verse 14. He did this so we would praise and glorify Him. He did this so we would praise and glorify Him. All praise and glory be to God. Would you say that with me? All praise and glory be to God. Say that every day. Give Him praise. Give Him honor. Give Him your... He gave you all. He gave you everything. He gave you His Son. He gave you life. He had the Holy Spirit regenerate you, and you're born again. So let your new self reflect the new person of Christ in all that you do. You see, because of the working of the Holy Spirit sealing us in Him, we can stop worrying about whether or not this relationship is secure, and we can get on with the path and the work and growth that God began in us and will continue to grow in us. Someone might ask me, Pastor, how do I know I have this sealing of God, the Holy Spirit? How do I know I've got this? You know, one way to help someone to know that this has happened in their life is to ask them what they believe about Jesus. What do you believe about Jesus? If one believes He is the Christ, God come to earth, and trust Him for forgiveness of their sins, then there's an indication that one has been sealed with the Holy Spirit because they've placed their trust in the way and the only way to the throne room of God, and that's through His Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. What do you say about Jesus? Is He your King? Has He died for the forgiveness of your sins? Has He arisen from the grave? Has He ascended into the heaven, into the throne room? Is that your Jesus? If that's your Jesus, there's a pretty good chance you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. But what about my walk, about what I do? What, you get up and you fall down? Praise God, your position is secured by the Holy Spirit. What do you think you were going to do? Be perfect? The only one that was perfect, they crucified Him. You have been made alive because of the Holy Spirit and the regeneration. And now because Christ has fulfilled the law, He didn't come to abolish it, He fulfilled it. And now that He's fulfilled the law, you also have fulfilled the law because you have the righteousness of Christ within you. That is your position. I am whole and without blame before God because of the righteousness of Christ. That's an amazing truth. But Lord, I feel like I'm no good. Well, have you read in the Scripture where it says there's no condemnation in those that love Jesus Christ? You mean I'm not condemned? No. You've been born again. You have been saved. You have been regenerated. You're walking anew. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. See, one might also have experienced conviction in their consciousness, having them retreat from sinning or be moved to even share the gospel, being guided by the Holy Spirit. There's a pretty good sign that you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. You ever had that little deal in the back of your mind, not the back of your mind, the Holy Spirit, your conscience, I'll use that for the back of your mind. That'd be the subconscious, I guess. Anyway, your conscience saying, go tell that person about your story about Jesus. Go help that person. Go love that person in the name of Christ. Who do you think's telling you to do that? It's God, the Holy Spirit. You get that thought in your mind, I need to call so-and-so. I wonder how they're doing. I hope they're getting all they need. The Lord's reminding you to love your neighbor as yourself. And in doing so, you're loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Our Bible, God's Word, is a source for recognizing the Spirit of God within self and others. Did you know that? God's Word says we can only believe if we are born of the Spirit. Apostle John, again, puts it this way. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Holy Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. In fact, in Ephesians, they were telling that Jesus was dead. And Paul's writing to tell them, He is alive and doing well. And He wants you to walk with Him and talk for Him and be His hands and feet. You've been regenerated, reborn by the Holy Spirit. And in verse 2 of John, he says, For there's many prophets in this world. Verse 2, he says, And this is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. This is interesting. How do we know they've got the Spirit of God? If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body and that person has the Spirit of God, what's he telling them? That God came down from heaven's throne in the form of a man named Jesus, fully God, fully human, person of Christ. And he came to save the lost. And he came to take away the wrath of God. He was the propitiation for the Lord, the removal of the wrath. And he removes the wrath each time. I wish we could have something where it just kind of went up or whatever. The wrath of God was gone as it hits upon each one of the person that gets saved. Man, you'd see things just going up all the time. What a beautiful process that would look like, wouldn't it? Saved. New self. Saved. Regenerated. Saved. New child of God. New one in the kingdom. If one believes in Christ Jesus, they have the testimony of the Spirit in their heart and belong to God. As 1 John 5:10 says. Let me read that. All who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. That those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe what God has testified about His Son. Well, what's He testified? Well, look at verse 11. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life. This life is in His Son. And whoever has a Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. Period. It's not that hard, Deluxe. It's simple. If you have Jesus Christ in your life, you believe He's the Son of God, you believe He is God come in human form, you believe He died upon the cross for your sins, arose from the grave, ascended into heaven, and you have been saved because He's given you the faith, power, the regeneration to even do that. It's a gift from God. Regeneration, being born again, is a total work of God. It's His work, not yours. It's His. And He did it beautifully. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The covenant of redemption. I'm coming to earth to save those. Good. When you do that, you die on the cross. You ascend back to heaven. Give them the righteousness. I'll come down and live with them, says the Holy Spirit. I'll take care of them and guide them and direct them in the way that they would go. I'll remind them who You are, Jesus, so they'll be like You. And they'll be our ambassadors that they will go around. And they'll say, man, come back to God. They'll help seek and save the lost. Be the hands and feet and the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ as He's created you to be, guided by the Holy Spirit. Regeneration, born again, is a total work of God. It is because of this we give Him praise as we have received great mercy and grace. And as the Apostle Peter even writes and tells us, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy we have been born again. Because God has raised Jesus from the dead, now we live with great expectation. Are you living with great expectation? Are you letting the world drag you down? We can live with great expectation. Why? Because you have a priceless inheritance, and this inheritance is kept in heaven for you. It's pure, it's undefiled, and it's beyond reach of change and decay. It is there, everlasting. You know when you got to paint your house again, you got to put the roof on? That ain't happening in heaven. It's done. It's complete. What the Lord puts together, it's going to be without change and decay. Guess what? Yourself, regenerating the Holy Spirit, you're as eternal as you're going to get. And we're going to learn a few more things, especially when we meet Christ face to face. But I just beg you, plead with you, ask God the Holy Spirit to walk with you in everything that you do. Look at your salvation, the preciousness of your salvation. Don't let it shrink you back. Let it move you forward in a way of seeing the beautiful mercy and the grace that God has bestowed upon those who don't deserve a thing. Beautiful mercy, unmerited favor, grace. See, God is regenerating His children and reconciling things, bringing them back to the way they should be. This ministry of reconciliation is at the heart of the gospel message, and He has included you. Have you been sealed with God the Holy Spirit? Have you been born again? Do you trust in Christ for forgiveness and sins eternal life? If you do, praise God, you're a child of the King. You've been sealed. If you haven't, I beg you, I'll spend time with you. I'll talk with you. I don't want emotional responses to Christ. I want heartfelt, Holy Spirit regenerated souls for Christ. That's the true walk. What God puts together, can't nobody tear apart. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for the preciousness of our salvation. Father, we're so grateful that we had nothing to do with our salvation. It's a free gift that you bestowed upon us. Father, thank you for helping us even to say yes, even though we chose it. Father, you wish that none would perish. But Father, many say no. But Father, you allow all an opportunity. Father, you even know who's going to say yes and no. But Father, you still give us that choice. It's a mystery. Father, we don't understand it all, but I do understand one thing, that you're my King and you're my Lord, and the Holy Spirit has regenerated me. And I feel the tugging and the nudging of the precious Holy Spirit. And oh, Father, thank you that the Holy Spirit resides and lives in me, within me. Father, thank you that He shows me the loving part of Christ. Father, you know how I grew up. I felt like I had to perform for you, and I was a human doing, hoping you would love me. And Father, then I found out that one day that you loved me, and that changed my whole walk. So, Father, thank you for even changing that for me. Father, I was trying to perfect the work that you'd begun in me. How ridiculous of me, Father. Thank you, Father, for helping me see the right way. So, Father, I'm going to let you do the work. But I'm going to be active in a way of following the Holy Spirit. Because you've done your part, Father, help me do my part to be completed. Father, we love you and thank you. Thank you for the preciousness and the beauty of being a child of the King. In the precious name of the King, I pray. Amen and amen.